afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Tuesday to you. Well, here's my rhetorical question for you today to get this conversation started. Do you long to deepen your intimacy with the Lord? Do you long to deepen your intimacy with the Lord? To find a sense of that soul-steadying peace that you're actually made for? To lessen anxiety, to reduce stress, and develop emotional strength? I mean, who of us wouldn't say absolutely capital yes to all those questions? Well, here's another question. Does the word meditation scare you? Well, today my guest is Pastor Robert Morgan. I love this man. He joins me to help us learn to reclaim the lost art of biblical meditation. It's in the Bible. I can't wait for you to hear about his new book, and it's titled, as such, Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation, Finding True Peace in Jesus. I just have to give a shout out to his publisher, Thomas Nelson. I don't know if I've ever seen a more beautiful cover. It's a gorgeous coffee table book, and the content is rich, and we've got 5 copies. I'm not going to take calls today, so you know how to do it. If you listen often enough, you just email me to get in on the drawing. Susie, spelled with 2 S's, S-U-S-I-E, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. We've got 5 copies. A couple quick announcements before we hear from Pastor Morgan. We've got this amazing Faith Radio app. I'm wondering if you've downloaded it yet. It's free. Go to the Apple App Store or on Google Play, and that way, wherever you travel this season, you can take us with you. You could even catch those podcasts after the fact. And Faith Radio, thanks to the Lord, is growing by leaps and bounds. We're so grateful. And so we want to give a special shout out and welcome to those tuning in on one of our new signals, 94.1 FM in Hartford, 93.1 FM in Waterloo, 104.7 FM Madison, and 2 FM signals in the Twin Cities, 90.7 and 97.5. And as always, those of us, friends who are streaming online, coming from all around the world, if you're brand new to the Faith Radio family listening in from one of those signals, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Let me know that you're new, where you're listening from. And I usually draw a couple of names and get some books off of our Faith Radio shelf. And as our just way of saying thank you so much for joining the family, we hope we can bring lots of encouragement to you. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Pastor Robert J. Morgan is teaching pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee, where he has served for 35 years. He's a best-selling, gold medallion winning writer with more than 35 books in print. And listen to this, more than 4 million copies in circulation in multiple languages. He's a writer for Dr. David Jeremiah and Turning Points magazine. He's had many articles published in other leading Christian periodicals as well. And he and his wife, Katrina, have 3 daughters and 14 grandchildren. Oh, my goodness, Pastor Robert. That's a lot of grandchildren. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Susie. I'm so happy to be with you, and I'm so grateful for your worldwide ministry of encouragement.
Thank you. We always love having you on the show. And we know, you know this because you've been on plenty of times, we love to start out by talking scripture. And you chose Psalm 1, and I would so much rather have you read it if you have it in front of you than I, but I'm happy to do it since I'm putting you on the spot here.
I don't have it in front of me, but I can quote it to you. It says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law they meditate day and night. They will be like trees planted by rivers of water that brings forth their fruit in season. Their leaves also shall not wither, and whatever they shall do shall prosper." And then it goes on to say, "Not so the wicked. They're like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows and watches over the ways of the righteous, but the ways of the ungodly shall perish."
Wow, that's impressive and powerful. Thank you for sharing. Tell us why you picked that passage.
Well, I've been thinking a great deal about thinking. I've been meditating on this subject of biblical meditation. And I've had a lot of people say to me, because I wrote this book, Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation, "What are you writing about an Eastern mysticism habit for? What are you writing about something that is New Age for?" And I just say, have you not read Psalm 1? This is at the very heart of the Bible. It's the entrance to the entire book of Psalms, and it tells us that we should be meditating in Scripture day and night, and if we are, then we're like these. Well, the psalmist gives us the image of a great orchard of trees planted alongside the rivers that are very fruitful and that are thriving. And I feel like that's the way that our churches ought to be. That's the way our families ought to be and our children ought to be. And if we want our children to be well-grounded and well-rooted, if we want them to be fruitful, if we want our families and our churches and Christians in America and around the world to remain thriving even in drought times, then, well, this passage says we've got to learn to meditate on Scripture to do that. And so that's become sort of one of the themes of my life and one of the great messages that I want to get across.
I love that. Is it Joshua? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that your way will be prosperous and then you'll have success. Isn't that, is that Joshua? Joshua 1, I believe.
Yes, mm-hmm. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And mm-hmm. I have a theory, Susan. Susie, I believe that Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 was written in Old Testament days in that wonderful commissioning that God gave Joshua in chapter 1, and that many years later, this shepherd boy David memorized that psalm, and he meditated on that verse about biblical meditation. He says, now it says that if I'm to be successful and make my way prosperous, I should meditate on God's law day and night. What does that look like? How do I picture that? How do I visualize that? And I think based upon his meditation of chapter 1, verse 8 of Joshua, my own theory is that David composed this wonderful hymn that we have that we call Psalm 1.
Beautiful. Wow. And you and I talked about this before the show, that the word meditation does need to make a comeback among Christians. And we're so afraid of it because the New Age movement has hijacked it. And I told you before the show even that, that when I've had guests even mention that word in a biblical context, I'll get emails, people saying that, you know, how dare you have someone like that on? And they're like, there's nothing they said that was not biblical. They just said a word that scared people. You said that you actually were there when the word was hijacked. You were in college. If you don't mind, tell that story. And then I would love for you just to give us and unpack the actual definition of real meditation, what it means.
Sure. I was in college in 1970, a freshman at King College, Susie, in Bristol, Tennessee. And they had an announcement one day that a teacher was coming to our college to lecture, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, that he's going to tell us about transcendental meditation, and I went to the lecture, and I thought it was a little odd because he told us that we should breathe deeply and relax our muscles, which there's nothing wrong with breathing deeply and relaxing our muscles, but then he told us that meditation was emptying our minds so that they could sort of be in neutral. And even as a freshman in college who didn't know a great deal, I knew that that was sort of antithetical to the definition of meditation. To meditate means that we fill our minds and ponder things, not that we try to empty them. Well, the next year, I transferred to Columbia International University, and there were some Christians there who mentored me, and they began talking to me about biblical meditation. And in fact, I memorized Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, based on their recommendation that we meditate on Scripture day and night. And their view of meditation was totally different. Instead of emptying our mind, we were to let the Word of God dwell in us richly. We were to focus our minds on Scripture, and not only on Scripture, but on the God of Scripture. We were to fix our minds on Him. And according to Romans chapter 12, it says that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. So I began saying instead of transcendental meditation, I want transformational meditation.
Amen.
I want to meditate on the Scripture in a way that transforms my personality through the power of the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God. And so I tell people now when they push up against the fact that I'm talking about meditation, I say meditation is God's idea. He thought of it before the gurus did. It doesn't come from Hinduism. It comes from Scripture. It isn't New Age. It is eternal in the heavens. It is not a matter of emptying our mind. It's a matter of meditating upon the Scripture. And it says in the book of Philippians and chapter 4 and verse 8 that whatever, and I'm quoting now from the New King James Version, it says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, whatever is praiseworthy, if anything is excellent, then meditate on these things. So we've got to take meditation back from Eastern mysticism and back from our secular culture and recognize this is a biblical habit, and the subject and source of our meditation is the Word of God. And here's the way that I define it. Biblical meditation is that act of pondering and personalizing and practicing Scripture. So you find a verse that you love or a passage you're thinking about, and you just start thinking about it day and night, thinking about it all the time, thinking about it when you wake up in the morning and when you go to bed at night, thinking about it when you're showering or shaving or putting on your makeup, thinking about it as you drive to work, thinking about it at breaks during the day, thinking about it when you're swimming laps in the pool, thinking about it when you drive home. You let your mind and train your mind to let that verse circulate through your thoughts like water through a fountain or like oil through a machine. And it has the most fabulous effect upon us. Nothing is more therapeutic, and nothing has helped me in my life more than the habit of the memorization and the meditation of Scripture.
Amen. Can I get an amen, friends? Like, I just could not echo you more clearly. I mean, remember, just as a young believer, still struggling with so much fear, and one of the verses I landed on was Psalm 116:9, and it says, "And so I walk in the Lord's presence as I live here on earth." That has just become one of my life verses, and it's just a reminder that even when I feel alone, I am absolutely not alone. Where can I go from your presence, you know? It's such a powerful thing when you take these portions, and then you own them in your soul. And before we take a break, say a word about Jennifer Rothschild. She's actually a friend of mine, and you tell the story of her. And she's blind, for those of you who don't know that, and she went through a time of fear around flying. I think it was just after 9/11. Tell us that story, if you would.
Yeah, she already was nervous about flying, but after 9/11, I remember how tense it was then when we went to the airports, our loved ones called to say goodbye to us because we were all living with this sense of the fear of terrorism. Mm. And so it was very difficult for her. But she said that she found a verse that helped her so much. It was Psalm 56 and verse 3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in you." And she found that if she quoted that verse as she went to the airport, as she meditated on it while she was waiting for her plane, when she boarded, if she'd close her eyes and let that mind that verse circulate through her mind and claim it and pray about it, she said it was by meditating on Psalm 56 and verse 3. That the fear evaporated, she developed confidence. And that's what the Scripture does for us. When we find a promise from God, whatever the crisis is or whatever the difficulty, we find that promise and we hang on to it like if it's a knot at the end of a rope, it pulls us through the difficult times. And the crises pass, but the verses that God gives us that we learn to meditate on, those verses stay with us forever.
Beautiful. Talking to pastor, author, best-selling author, award-winning author Robert Morgan. And again, I'm stunned by the beauty of this book. Hardcover, gorgeous coffee table book, and the content is even more rich. Title of the book is Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation. Find true peace in Jesus. And if he's not made the case, if you're not convinced yet, I don't know if there is convincing you, because meditation is part of our biblical inheritance. There's a biblical case for it. So when we come back, we're going to talk about just practical ways that we can meditate on the Word of God and be transformed by it. We've got 5 copies of this amazing book. Email if you want in on the drawing. Susie is spelled S-U-S-I-E. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget that mailing address. If you've got a question for Pastor Robert, include that as well. And we'll be back in a minute. That song just about puts tears in my eyes, because that is what he does. He restores us piece by piece, memory by memory. You know, we are all a pile of contradictions. We're hurt sometimes and we're helpful sometimes. We're grateful, then we're grumpy. You know, old fears come up and taunt us, and sometimes faith rises up and compels us onward. And Jesus loves us and he's committed to us and he's given us his word. And there's something so powerful about pausing, pondering Scripture, owning it, walking in it. So honored to have our friend, pastor, author Robert Morgan. He's written just a spectacular book titled Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation. Find True Peace in Jesus. I love this book, and I think it's gorgeous. And we've got 5 copies. Would love to get your name in the drawing. Just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And got to say, I love this, Pastor. You wrote, "If you're a bit allergic to meditation, well, get over it. Bible lovers needn't apologize for advocating meditation, for some of the greatest heroes of the faith modeled it for us." Would love for you just to give a couple of biblical examples of those who meditated on the Word of the Lord.
Well, of course, one of the first examples we have is Isaac, because it says that he went out in the evening as the sun was setting and he meditated in the fields. And I think that he must have meditated on the great Abrahamic covenants that he had been the heir of and was thinking about God's plan for his life. And then in the New Testament, it says that the Virgin Mary, after Gabriel came and gave her the great news, she treasured those things and pondered them in her heart. And that word ponder is just another synonym for meditation. And I can see Mary, just an ordinary girl, maybe a teenager, but she knew the scripture. We know that she knew the Old Testament because her wonderful songs in the book of Luke just echo with Old Testament scriptures. And then she knew the message that Gabriel gave her, and she pondered those things in her heart. And I think that as she faced real misunderstanding and all of the rigors of what she had to go through, that it was that act of pondering truth in her heart that kept her strong. You know, it says in Isaiah, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." And so these are, you know, two of many different people in the Bible who I think were great meditators of scripture.
Boy, that's beautiful. Steve writes in, and first of all, Steve, your name is automatically now in the drawing. Thanks for that. But he says, here's a question. Any tips on preparing for meditation? I have a hard time getting focused. My mind wanders so often during quiet times. Great question, Steve. What do you say, Pastor?
I love to do two things in my quiet time. First of all, I journal. I have a little notebook, and I learned this many years ago when I was in college. I had time with Billy Graham's wife, Ruth, and she taught me. She said one day, "Do you have the notebook habit?" And I said, "I don't know what that is." And she said, "Well, here's my old leather notebook, and every morning," she says, "I'll put the date in and say a few words about my day and put where I am reading. And as I read a passage, I'll make some notes on it, and it helps me keep my mind focused." And so I've been doing that ever since. And very often the verse that the Lord will give me in the morning in my devotions becomes the verse that I meditate on all day long. And then I would say, secondly, to find some verses and memorize them. And I do this also during my quiet time. Right now I'm working on memorizing a paragraph in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, and I write it out, and then every day I just try practicing it into my phone. I have a recorder, an app on my phone, so I'll quote it, and then I'll listen to see what I missed. And I can, you know, I'm not going to take time to do it now, but I could rattle off that entire paragraph to you right now. I don't think I would miss anything, but I've been working on it for several weeks. But once you memorize a passage, now you don't have to memorize it in order to meditate on it. You can just open your Bible and read it and look at it and ponder every single word and meditate on it without memorizing it. But when you memorize scripture, even if it's just a verse every two or three weeks, you just keep working on it until you get it, then that verse becomes yours in your conscious mind, in your subconscious mind, in your unconscious mind. It goes with you everywhere. It becomes portable. I wrote a book, it's still in print, called 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart. And so I would suggest to Steve that he just use a little notebook every day, or if you don't want to use a notebook, then use a pen around the very page of your Bible and mark, circle words, and use a little technique with a pen and paper in order to focus your thoughts, and then find a verse and include some scripture memory in your daily devotions and in your routines.
Very good. Well, Pastor, I would love to hear the passage that you just memorized or are memorizing and why you chose it.
Well, I chose it because I've been asked to speak on it in about 3 or 4 weeks, so I thought, well, I've got enough time to memorize it. And it's a passage that begins with a declaration, ends with a doxology, and tells us our duty in the middle. And it's 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. Now, I'll see if I can quote it to you. "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober minds so that you can pray. Above all, love one another deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without complaining. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it with the words God gives. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Mm, beautiful. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. There's nothing like God's word. Well, here's another thing. We've got probably about 2.5 minutes to our bottom break here. So if you need to carry this to the other side, please feel free. But you talk about how biblical meditation is also the antidote for the unprecedented stress of our age. I'd love a practical example of what that looks like for you.
Well, when I'm under stress or worried about something or anxious, I can either let those anxious thoughts take over my mind, which they can do very easily. I have an anxiety disorder, and I'm the best worrier in the world, and I just go crazy when my mind is overtaken with anxious thoughts. Or I can say, well, I do have this thing that is concerning me, but God has said, and I begin quoting scripture to myself. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And I just keep quoting scripture to myself, and there is something about quoting scripture to yourself, preaching to yourself, that, well, you remember when David was at Ziklag and everything was going against him? It says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We have to preach to ourselves. We have to quote scripture to ourselves. And that is a form of biblical meditation.
Boy, that's beautiful. You got about a minute left. I would love for you just to maybe list a couple of your go-tos as far as dealing with anxiety. Many, many people listening deal with anxiety in varying forms, and I'm sure they would love to hear a couple of your go-tos.
Yeah, well, actually, I have a book coming out in November called Worry Less, Live More, and it's an extended exposition of Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And this is the Bible's greatest anti-anxiety passage. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Mm. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I quote that to myself many, many times during anxious periods.
Beautiful. We're going to pause here. Talking to author, Pastor Robert Morgan. Always love when we can get him on the show, celebrating the release of this gorgeous, beautiful book titled Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation. It has this timeless look. Subtitle is Find True Peace in Jesus. It's a hardcover kind of coffee table book. Gorgeous pages, amazing content. We've got 5 copies. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. You know, sometimes you just got to speak to your soul. Remember in the Psalms, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in the Lord. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So grateful to have our honored guest today, pastor, author, Robert Morgan. And he's written a gazillion books. This brand new one is just, honestly, I think one of my favorites of his. It's just beautiful. And it's titled Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation, Find True Peace in Jesus. And if you just tuned in, you missed the case that he made, that the word's been hijacked by the New Age and the Eastern mystics, but it's a biblical term and we're taking it back. And the book is gorgeous. And I'd love for you to talk about the Harriet Tubman story. She's one of my faith heroes. So I loved that you talked about her. Tell us her story, if you would.
Well, and you know, she's going on the $20 bill, and this is going to be a great occasion for Christians. We can hold up a $20 bill and say, here, the government of the United States is telling us that one of the great heroes of our history was a dedicated Christian woman who loved the Bible and who meditated on it day and night. But, of course, Harriet Tubman grew up in slavery. She was injured when a wicked slave owner threw something at her, a metal object that struck her in the head. But she was a great woman of faith. She loved the Lord, and she learned and memorized his word. And she said that when she would wake up in the morning and go out and wash her face in the horse trough, she would say, "Lord, wash away my sins and wash my soul as well as my face." And when she would sweep the floor, she would say, "Lord, sweep away the dirt and the debris out of my life." And when she would wash something, she would say, "Lord, make me pure." And she was always turning every day into a practice of the presence of God and meditating on Scripture. And it gave her such a strong and stalwart heart that she became a great hero who not only escaped slavery, but she very bravely risks her life over and over again to get other slaves onto the Underground Railroad and out of the slaveholding regions. And she kept depending upon Scripture. She was called a modern-day Moses, and she would face down opposition, and she would escape and evade her pursuers, and she was always quoting Scripture and meditating on Scripture, and she said that it was that Scripture that gave her the strength to do what she did, and today we recognize her as a hero, but behind her heroism was a meditation upon God and a practicing of His presence that really is legendary to read about.
It really is. When you think of the kind of danger, and she also served as a spy in the military, right? I mean, the kind of danger that she was in, and the courage and conviction that, you know, just compelled her onward. I can't even fathom it, you know. Wow.
Well, she loved Isaiah chapter 16 and verse 3. It said, "Hide the fugitives, do not betray the refugees." And she felt that God was giving her that verse for her mission in life. I think He was, and that's exactly what she did.
Boy, she's someone I can't wait to meet in heaven. Well, you know, you gave a whole number of passages that just identify the whole idea of meditation, and just reading through them, I felt my heart just strengthened. I'm just going to read a few of them and love to have you speak to them, just what they've come to mean to you. So Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." What does that even mean when it dwells in us richly?
Well, I think this means, you know, the question here, was Paul speaking to us as individuals, or was he addressing the church? If he was addressing the church, then he meant you ought to go to a church that really allows the Word of God to dwell richly within the walls and the people of that church. It should be taught. And I think a part of meditation is appreciating good expositional sermons. I just posted a blog on my website on the primacy of exposition. I called it, "Please Give Me Exposition." Mm-hmm. I think that as pastors and preachers, we need to give clear expositions of Bible teachings and to take paragraphs and to unfold them the way that the Lord laid them down in His Word. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 130, "The unfolding of your Word gives light." But on an individual basis, to let the Word of God dwell in us richly means that we just study it all the time until it begins to dominate our thoughts. I found, Susie, that when I wake up in the middle of the night, very often I'm worried about something. There's some thought that I have. Maybe it's a financial need or probably some crisis that I think one of my children may be facing or something, and it just petrifies me. But if I have learned, and I'm learning this better and better, to begin quoting Scripture when I awaken, then it makes all the difference. So if I wake up in the middle of the night and a fearful thought comes to me, but I begin saying, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but freely gave up for Him all, how will He not also along with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, rather has risen from the dead, who is also at the right hand of the Father interceding for us," and so forth and so on. You know, there is something about quoting Scripture in the middle of the night when you awaken that allows you to relax. The Holy Spirit takes your mind over again, and you can go back to sleep. And I think that is an example of what it means to let the Word of God dwell in you richly.
Beautiful. How about this one, Psalm 19:14? "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight." And the rest of that is, "O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." What say you?
Yes, that verse comes at the end of one of the great psalms in which the psalmist says, "God speaks to us in a general way through the beauty of His nature. The heavens declare the glory of God, but He speaks to us particularly and especially through his word. And the word of God is pure. It refreshes the soul. It revives us. So as we look out over the vast beauty of God's creation, we can meditate on that. We can stand on a night when the stars are out and try to count them and think of the grandeur of the God who made them. And then we open our Bibles and we meditate on the special revelation he's given to us. Then our hearts are full, and the prayer at the end of the description of God's book of nature and God's book of scripture is, O Lord, may the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And so that's a wonderful verse within its context on the subject of biblical meditation.
And doesn't it just speak to the choice that we have on what our heart meditates on? I mean, so often if we aren't intentional, our thoughts go rogue, our emotions go rogue, our perspective goes south. We don't just happen upon this. This isn't sort of a DNA thing, like some happen upon a good perspective and others don't. We've got to really guard our heart with all diligence, don't we?
Yes, the mind is the battleground for the soul. And the devil and the world and all of our anxieties and the flesh, all of those things are trying to gain control of our minds. And this is why we're having such an epidemic of pornography now. The best answer there is to a pornographic addiction, now there's a lot of things that people need to do to overcome an addiction like pornography, but the most powerful single thing you can do is to memorize Scripture and to let the power of God's Word begin to push out those negative thoughts. Or it may not be pornography, it may be depression, or it might be anxiety, or it might be materialism. We find ourselves, we keep going to Amazon, we keep going to websites and ordering more and more things, and our mind becomes consumed with possessions. But whatever it is that we are tempted by, meditation on Scripture is a way of allowing the Holy Spirit to reclaim our minds. It says in Romans chapter 8 that the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Holy Spirit is life and peace. Well, how does the Holy Spirit govern our mind? He does it by controlling and filling and blessing and renewing it with the power of God's infallible word.
Boy, beautiful. Love this too. You wrote, as we habitually hide God's word in our hearts, claim those special verses that seem to have our names on them, ponder and picture them, and turn them into unceasing praise and prayer, we will practice the presence of God, and he will transform us into agents of audacious boldness for his glory. I want that up on a big giant sign, you know, one of those, what do they call them, having a billboard. That's what it is. I want them on a billboard. I'd love for you to say a word about the idea of verses that seem to have our names on them. And they live, you know, God's word is living and active, and there are times where something jumps out at you, and it's a word in due season for you. Speak to that if you would.
Yes, we can always find a verse and put our name in it. I was just reading a missionary biography of a woman named Maria Monson, who was many years ago a missionary in Asia. And she was on a ship that was hijacked by pirates, and her life was at risk. And at first, she was tempted to be afraid, as any of us would be. But she said, I just remembered the word that God gave to me. And she said, I put my name in that verse, and it was the verse, I've known it from childhood, Isaiah 41, verse 10. She said, I said to myself, fear thou not, Maria, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, Maria, for I am thy God. I will help you, Maria. I will sustain you, Maria. I will uphold you, Maria, with the right hand of my righteousness. And she just read that verse and thought about it as though God were giving it to her, and it was hers to claim, and she put her name in it. And we can also do this in prayer for our loved ones. You know, very often, for example, when Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I'll say the name of one of my daughters. I'll say, Lord, will your will be done in her? And call her name out. Will your will be done in this situation she's going through? Will your will be done in this need that she has? So meditation, we can meditate when we pray. We can meditate as we claim God's promises. But it's a matter of really allowing our mind to begin to focus on what God has said instead of all of these other things. Now, we can't ignore the realities around us. But the question is, what do we focus on? We can either acknowledge the Lord but focus on the problems, or we can focus on God and his word while acknowledging the problems. And it seems to me that that's the better approach.
Indeed. When you look back over your, I mean, it's a heavy mantle for a pastor. Just, you think, shepherding a flock, leading a flock, and I know Jesus does the heavy lifting, but I don't think people have any idea what a pastor and his family carries. And you think of your concern and love for your wife, for your kids, for the flock, for even, you know, the books and the other things that God has you doing. Can you think back to a time of maybe not a crisis of faith, but a crisis of heart where that anxiety was getting the best of you? And there was a life verse that, or a verse that just brought life to you that actually surprised you?
Oh, yes. Well, I'm prone to discouragement, and especially in the earlier days of my ministry, I would work so hard as a pastor, and sometimes the crowds wouldn't be very good, or we wouldn't meet our budget or something, or I'd preach a sermon and didn't think it went very well. And I just went through periods when I got very, very discouraged. But then there were some verses God gave me, and one that I really keep going back to this day is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." And I would say, well, Lord, I'm going to walk by faith. There's not a lot I can see right now that's happening, but I'm not going to walk by sight. I'm just going to take this verse and think about it and quote it to myself when I get discouraged and meditate on it. And it was verses like that, or like the one in Galatians 6 that says that we will reap a harvest if we don't give up, or like Isaiah 55 that says his word does not return into us void. It was some of those verses that God gave me that helped me develop an optimistic attitude, even when sometimes the circumstances were not optimistic. But our attitude should be determined by what God has said, and we've got to let the Scripture be the stabilizer for the soul.
Boy, we've got to let Scripture be the stabilizer for the soul. Talking to pastor author Robert Morgan today. Beautiful book, Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation, Find True Peace in Jesus. Have I said this is gorgeous? It's just gorgeous and amazing content. Email if you want in on the drawing. Susie is spelled S-U-S-I-E. I say that a lot because people have been telling me they don't know how to spell it. So there it is, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget that mailing address. If you've got a question, you can include that as well. When we come back, we're going to talk even more about how we shift our perspective and our focus from the lowlands of our problems to the highlands of His perspective. This is possible. It's why God gave us His Word. Don't go away. More great conversation with author, pastor Robert Morgan in a moment. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to author, Pastor Robert Morgan. He's written an amazing book titled Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation, Find True Peace in Jesus. Just a gorgeous hardcover book. We've got 5 copies. If you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and remember that mailing address. And I love this thought that you write. As we meditate, God guides and changes our thoughts, helps us process our griefs and sorrows, enables us to soak up the wonder of His greatness, and prepares us for what He's planned for us. Talk about how the idea of meditation on Scripture impacts even just direction in our lives, where as we just go to God with what ails our heart, where we find ourselves kind of groveling in the lowlands, how in those places of seeking God and reading His Word and meditating on it, it lifts our eyes and even gives us a fresh perspective on where what He might be up to in our lives.
Well, Susie, there's something very deep here at work. I say in this book, and I think the Bible also says, that there are two ways of looking at things. There are two levels of wisdom. James, in chapter 3, talked about the wisdom from below and the wisdom from above. And Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 55, "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." The way that God looks at things is absolutely accurate, but the way that we look at things down below it's very frequently inadequate. We don't have all of the facts. We don't understand things as thoroughly as we should. So we think with a low level of thinking. We think down here in the lowlands, God sees things from a heavenly perspective. But he has sent his perspective down to us with the words of Scripture, like raindrops. This is the picture that Isaiah gives us in Isaiah chapter 55. As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but it waters the earth, so my word is that goes forth from my mouth. So when we begin to take his words, which are contained between Genesis and Revelation, between the covers of our Bible, and we study them, we memorize some of them, we learn to meditate upon them, and we train our brains to begin thinking about them, then we are remolding our thoughts and beginning to look at things the way God does. We begin to gain his perspective, and our level of wisdom, our ability to look at life, is lifted from the lowlands up to a divine level. We begin looking at things through the lens of Scripture. For me, one of the ways of doing that is to take Bible walks. So I will be studying a passage, maybe it's Psalm 23, maybe I'll memorize it, maybe I'll jot it down on a little card, I'll put it in my pocket, and then I'll go for a walk on the greenway, I'll get my exercise, or I'll go jogging. And I'll just keep that little card. I'll bring it out of my pocket. I'll think about every word of it. And my whole walk is just a Bible meditation walk. And, you know, when I get back, my perspective is a little bit better. My wisdom is a little bit higher. My knowledge of God's word is just a little richer. And by bit, somehow we begin to develop wisdom, the ability to look at life from God's perspective through this habit of reclaiming the lost art of biblical meditation.
That's just one of the many ideas and that you suggest in the book. So to imagine that tonight, going for a walk and bringing a passage with you and just thinking on each of the different words in that passage, maybe inserting your name if it's a promise. Another one you suggest is take a Bible verse with you into the shower with your soap and washcloth and rinse off your mind. Say more if you would.
Well, the reason I said that is because of an article that I read in the Huffington Post about the fact that Americans do not meditate or think. They were talking about here cognitive thinking. Americans do not think anymore. We're too busy. We have too much stimuli. We have too much electronic media coming into us all the time. We have too many emails and everything else. We're too busy. And so if we think at all, said the article, it is one of three times: when we're in the shower, or when we are exercising, or when we're driving the car. And so I suggested that if a lot of Americans only think, for example, when they're in the shower, then what are we thinking about? And I've tried to train myself when I get in the shower, instead of trying to figure out my day or think about some problem or let my mind think about all of the complications of the day, I'll just take a verse of Scripture in there and will repeat it to myself and think about it, or while I'm shaving, or in the simple moments of life. Maybe sometimes you take a break and you lay down in the recliner and you close your eyes for 10 minutes. Where does your mind go? I just very gently learn to begin quoting Scripture passages that I know. If you don't know it word for word, it doesn't matter. You can work your way through the 23rd Psalm, even if you don't necessarily know it word for word. And there is something about that process that brings strength and joy and tranquility to the mind. It begins to affect your whole personality. There is no therapy in the world that can match the power of learning and meditating on God's word, pondering it and personalizing it and practicing it, because it's like a divine ray of sunlight that just breaks through the clouds right into your heart.
Yeah, and just as, you know, as we talk about this, and a reminder for our friends listening today, and you know this, but it's just a good reminder that these aren't just any words. These are God's words. These are living, active, powerful words that transform us from the inside out. And so I'm just thinking, maybe you struggle with discontentment. Well, let's talk about Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. That's one translation. I shall not want is another translation. But imagine just pondering that one verse. He's my shepherd. He leads and guides me. I have all that I need. That just sort of puts your heart at rest, doesn't it?
Well, it is. And one of the ways of meditating is to take every single verse in turn and emphasize it. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That is present tense. That is immediate. The Lord is my. It doesn't even say our, you know, in the Lord's Prayer. It's all our, you know, our Father. But Psalm 23 is so personal. He is my, and then shepherd. And you can, you know, do a lot of research and read a lot of verses and visit some farms and begin to discover what a meaningful metaphor that is. So I have everything I need. And just think of that word, everything, or I shall not want. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means I shall not lack. I shall not lack what? I shall not lack anything. And you just work your way through a verse like that, word by word. My wife had a dear friend who grew very old and suffered from macular degeneration, and she said, I could only read my Bible with a very powerful eyeglass, and I could only read one word at a time. But she said, I came to realize that might be the best way of studying the Bible because it forced me to focus on one single word at a time, and I found that every word was so rich.
Mm, boy, that's amazing. Just got about a minute and a half left before we pray here, and we have a doctor on once a month, and we call it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy, and he talks about how our brains basically have two fuels only, the either fear or love. Fear or love. So we're either in fear, which you know where that takes us, or we're in love. And he said, before you go to sleep, especially, if you let your mind wander to places of fear, you will be in fight flight even in your dreams, and you won't get to that healing sleep that your body needs. And you address the issue of meditating before sleep. And talk, just say one more word yet about just meditating on Scripture as you fall asleep.
Oh, find a verse tonight, and as you lay down and turn off the light, you just let your mind dwell on that verse. If you don't know it word for word, just read it enough times over before you turn off the light so you have a pretty good familiarity with it. And if all of the people listening to us would go to bed tonight with a Bible verse on their minds, there is something about that verse that gets into your subconscious mind all night long. We would all sleep better. We'd wake up tomorrow. It'd be a better day. The Bible says that we will lay down and sleep, and our sleep will be sweet, and we'll awaken, and the Lord will be with us. And it comes, I think, from having Scripture in our mind, as it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and in Psalm 1, day and night.
Well, I want to thank you for all that you've persevered through, all that you've endured for the gospel, Pastor Robert, and how you've started your story. As we wrap up, wondering if you pray for that person who also deals just with chronic anxiety. Would you pray for that person as they learn this lost art of meditation?
I will, Susie. Thank you. Dear Lord, we pray now that you will take the power of your word and that you would be with anyone who is listening, who has an anxious heart, who has a lot of burdens, a lot of problems, maybe someone who is angry, maybe someone who is battling addiction, maybe someone who is just discouraged today, and give them a verse from you, and may they meditate on it, and may the Holy Spirit use it to revive their souls. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Bless you, sir, and thank you once again for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Susie.
I wish you God's best. Title of Robert Morgan's book is Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation. Find true peace in Jesus. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, I'll talk to Adam McHugh about introverts in the church. How do you know if you're an introvert? This is going to be an interesting conversation. So don't go away. Another great hour is up ahead.